Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. Right now we're going to get an update on Planned Parenthood and some of the important developments in the abortion movement. Our guest is Eric Scheidler, and he's with the Pro-Life Action League, which is in the greater Chicago area. Eric, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
I'm delighted to be with you again.
Sure. Well, I believe since you and I have talked last, we have a new president. I mean, in other words, I believe you and I haven't talked since he became president. Let's put it that way. And Joe Biden is trying to basically, you know, whatever Trump did, Biden's trying to do the exact opposite. That would include he's ramping up funding for Planned Parenthood, even at taxpayers' expense. So why don't you go ahead and give us an overview how things have changed lately on this front?
Yeah, Joe Biden has just run with the abortion lobby as fast and as far as he could ever since his first days in office. He is currently trying to return to Planned Parenthood the $60 million of funding that we were able to strip from them from family planning funds, which was a huge victory for pro-life activism back during the Trump administration. He's also pushing to strip all of the Hyde Amendment protections out of his budget so that federal funds can be more generally used for abortion. He's even talking about federalizing abortion law, especially since the United States Supreme Court decided that they're going to take up this huge abortion case out of Mississippi that we should be looking at as well. And, you know, so all of this is coming from Washington. And it really presents a tremendous challenge for the pro-life movement because for 4 years we had a pro-life administration stripping funding from Planned Parenthood, putting great policies in place, preventing, you know, for example, the bodies of aborted babies to be used for federal research and things like this. So we really need to be paying close attention to what Biden's doing and sharing the word, too, because he presents himself as some kind of a moderate or a compromiser. And on the issue of abortion, he is incredibly radical.
Yeah, that's very true. In fact, the media, you know, says, oh, look, he goes to church regularly and so forth. And then I read these items in the lifenews.com, you know, where some of these different Catholic leaders are discussing among themselves, should we or should we not allow him to even receive communion?
Right. Yeah, that's what really you know, makes this particularly galling and spiritually troubling, because Joe Biden claims to actually be pro-life. I mean, he goes that far. He says that he agrees with the teachings of his church. But what does that even mean? If your church is teaching you that destroying the lives of innocent children is wrong, and you agree that it's wrong, how do you push so hard? This is not just a case of a politician who, you know, has to sort of put up with some bad laws in place because there's not enough public will to do anything else. This is a president who's pushing against the majority opinion about things like late-term abortion and taxpayer funding for abortion and how much money Planned Parenthood should be getting from taxpayers. So he really has no excuse, and you know, it's tough, but we need to be praying for this man. You know, maybe there's a spark of desire on his part to you know, to return to a stronger pro-life position, which at one time he held.
Talk a little bit more about the Hyde Amendment, because I do know. In fact, I saw a photograph recently of Henry Hyde, and you know, former then senator, you know, Joe Biden. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting. So Biden used to support the Hyde Amendment, but now obviously he does not.
That's right. Joe Biden was a regular advocate of the Hyde Amendment through his entire career in the Senate. Year after year after year, he would sign on to this measure along with the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats who used to have some common ground in at least agreeing that Americans shouldn't have to pay for abortions, especially when it's such an incredibly controversial topic, and for so many of us is clearly an act of tremendous injustice that should never be even tolerated by law, let alone paid for by us taxpayers. What happened? Well, he realized that he couldn't get that Democratic nomination without leaning very far to the left on the abortion issue, and so he abandoned his support for the Hyde Amendment. He abandoned his support for banning late-term abortion, and has become, sad to say, the most extreme president we've ever had on the abortion issue.
Even more so than Obama.
At this point, I think we have to say so, because Obama at least tried to dance around the issue of taxpayer funding. He recognized that even if they were going to fund abortion through Obamacare, they at least wanted to hide that funding. They at least wanted to kind of sweep it under the rug because they were embarrassed about it. Now Joe Biden is right out front saying, let's fund abortion. And, you know, we'll see if he succeeds. But in terms of what he's aspiring to do, he's far more radical than even Barack Obama was.
Is it possible that at least in some of these cases, some of these politicians are so pro-abortion because they receive so much money from Planned Parenthood, you know, like, for example, for their campaigns?
Yeah, and it's particularly true in states like Illinois that have a very powerful pro-abortion lobby. They just become puppets of the abortionists, of Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and these other lobbying groups. For Biden, I don't think it's so much the money. He did receive a lot of money from Planned Parenthood, a lot of advertising from NARAL and other abortion supporters. But I think in Joe Biden's case, it has much more to do with appeasing his, you know, woke, radical, you know, leftist wing of the Democratic Party that really wants to see all, not only all restrictions on abortion swept away, but any suggestion that there could be anything even slightly troubling about abortion.
All right, and let's talk more about Planned Parenthood itself. Lately, would you say that the abortion pill that Planned Parenthood is distributing is one of the more almost prominent means of abortions that they're doing lately as opposed to the old-fashioned surgical-type abortions?
That's right. Medication abortion, where you take a couple of pills to cause a chemical abortion to take place in the body and expel the tiny embryo, have become more and more significant percentage of abortions. It started a very small number of abortions and gradually started to account for about a quarter of them. We're getting close to nearly half of abortions being done through medication, which makes it much more difficult for us to keep track of what's going on, because abortions are happening, you know, in doctor's offices when they hand out the medication, at pharmacies, you know, women are delivering these aborted embryos at home and school cafeterias, out at the mall, and all over the place. It makes it much easier for Planned Parenthood to make abortion seem like it's legitimate medicine because you're taking a pill. And psychologically, it seems like women are more open to these kinds of abortions. Planned Parenthood has really exploited the pandemic, too, as it's advanced the cause of medication abortion. They were able to convince a judge to sweep away all the Federal Drug Administration limits on the prescription of these drugs. And until the pandemic came, you had to see a doctor. A doctor had to do an exam. He had to actually talk to a patient before giving him this extremely powerful, toxic, dangerous steroidal drug. Now they don't have to. You can do this drug over telemedicine. Nurses can prescribe these pills because the judge said so. And Biden has tried to make those changes permanent. So Planned Parenthood is really pushing medication abortion big time, and Joe Biden is helping him to do it with everything he's got.
In the movie Unplanned, that tells us the life story of Abby Johnson, you know, she was a Planned Parenthood general manager or operations manager or whatever of one of their facilities in the greater Houston area, or 100 miles from Houston, something like that. So anyway, in the movie, they show her going through an abortion procedure, and I believe it would be what you're now describing, a medication abortion. But the horrible thing about it is she sees all this in her own home, and I'm sure a lot of these, you know, people going through this, a lot of the women going through this, you know, would be reviled, you know, at what they're seeing for themselves through this medication abortion. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, there was a famous case a couple of years ago where a person on Twitter named Angie the Anti-Theist took the abortion drug and tweeted her whole story of taking the drug and going through the abortion, which ended up taking multiple days. It took way longer than she had thought it would, and it was just an anguishing, painful experience. So here was this woman, you know, intending to boldly show how safe and easy these drugs are to use, and she ended up revealing how incredibly painful, long and drawn out and miserable, and all alone. It's happening all by yourself. Abortion is always a very lonely thing to do. A surgical abortion at an abortion facility, a woman is often all by herself. You know, we see so often the boyfriends, the husbands, the lovers, the abusers, whoever they are, they drop the girl off at the abortion clinic by herself, then come back later to pick up the pieces. with the medication abortion, they're even more abandoned. Because, you know, we saw that horrifying scene in Unplanned where the abortion is taking place in the shower, and it's just bloody, it's ugly, it's painful.
And then she sees the remains. The remains,
the remains of your child are flushing down, you know, the drain of your shower right before your eyes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. All right, let's talk about other, what other things do you want to say about Planned Parenthood, and then we can maybe talk about Mississippi.
Well, I think, you know, Mississippi is a good place to go to at this point, because, you know, Planned Parenthood, they're continuing to expand. They're growing their business everywhere. We just marked the 1 year anniversary of Planned Parenthood's massive opening of their center in Waukegan, Illinois, that it's now doing abortions on women from over the border in Wisconsin. We've seen in Illinois our abortion numbers have skyrocketed 10% in just 1 year, thanks to a taxpayer funding being provided, which shows you how dangerous taxpayer funding really is for children in the womb. The Mississippi case, though, is one that I think could be a game changer. We are extremely excited about this. This case, if the Supreme Court agrees to uphold the Mississippi law, this is going to open the door for much vaster abortion restrictions all over the country. They could even go so far as to overturn Roe v. Wade. If they do that, it's going to be a battle royal. The forces of abortion are going to be fighting harder than ever to expand abortion, especially in abortion-friendly states like New York and Illinois and California. We're going to see abortion becoming a destination service, people traveling across the country, and at the same time, we'll have the opportunity to save hundreds of thousands of lives through state pro-life measures.
And explain more about the Mississippi law itself.
Yeah. Well, the Mississippi law is a ban on abortion after 15 weeks, except for cases of some sort of a serious health issue, very serious health issue for the mother. It's not a, you know, an easy exception. They've written it very well. It would bring Mississippi law into line with the law of most of the rest of the developed world, countries like France and Italy and Germany. United States is unusual, one of the only countries in the world that allows abortion so late into pregnancy. And Mississippi is simply saying, let us have more freedom during the first trimester to limit, you know, after the first trimester to limit abortion. And that's not allowed under Roe v. Wade. Interestingly, most Americans say they support Roe v. Wade, and they also say that they want to see abortion banned after 15 weeks. So they don't really understand what Roe v. Wade does. We need to teach them. And I think this year is going to be a tremendous opportunity to educate people about how bad Roe v. Wade is and perhaps prepare the day for a real massive change in American abortion policy.
Since the last time you and I have talked, that movie came out, Roe v. Wade, the movie. What were your thoughts on that?
I haven't seen the movie yet. It hasn't received very positive reviews from the critics, which isn't surprising, but I've seen a lot of criticism of some of the acting and some of the storytelling. My feeling on it is that the real story of Roe v. Wade is going to be told in the courthouse this year, you know, when the Supreme Court looks at this case in the fall. I'm glad to see that people are revisiting the issue of Roe v. Wade, but for whatever reason, that film just didn't seem to have a huge impact.
That's a shame. I saw it myself, like a review copy. A review, you know, online or whatever, and I was mesmerized. I remember this about 2 months ago, something like that. On a Wednesday afternoon, I started it around 5, and I just didn't get up for about 2 hours, just mesmerized watching this film. It tells the story from Dr. Bernard Nathanson's perspective, and I'm sure that a lot of the criticism you refer to is, you know, from those who were so predisposed, you know, in favor of abortion, that you know how dare them criticize the, you know, the holy grail of Supreme Court decisions. We have about 15 seconds left.
Well, I think the key thing right now is to really just be praying hard for the Supreme Court, praying hard for the attorneys that are preparing that case, because this Mississippi Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization could be the biggest abortion case since 1973.
Wow. Okay, and your website?
ProLifeAction.org.
Okay, Eric, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
God bless. Bye.